I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah ta'ala, we are going to be having a series of discussions regarding the topic of women of Ashura or Ashura and women. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister.
So, Sister Razia, we were talking about women who played great roles throughout history, especially during the events of Karbala and Ashura and whatever happened afterwards.
Yeah, but we had an incomplete topic last session.
Exactly. And we were talking about more contemporary figures, closer to our time, perhaps more relatable.
Right? One tool that we Shiites have, and I'm an Iranian woman, and I see that in every alley during the 2 months of Muharram and Safar, you see that every other house, like every 10 houses, you can see a house that has Rosa or morning session for Abu Abdullah and all the martyrs of Karbala. Or when there's a happy occasion, there's a celebration of a birthday anniversary of an imam or the Mab'ath or Eid al-Adha. On any occasion, they try to revive the custom, the teachings of Islam, by celebrating it, by honoring that, occasion, and by analyzing what they can get. Because these young, new lecturers that are, attending these morning sessions or celebration sessions, they're really trying to educate people, rather than just talking about a historical event that took place years and years ago and then that's finished. They're really trying to relate it to people's present-day lives and how we can learn from them. And talking about Sayyida Bintul Huda al-Sadr and how she had sessions in her own house, I was reminded of other ladies in the history of time that used this platform. Ladies, platform. You have a great free access in your disposal, which is your houses, right? Each of these are Husseiniya. I remember in the beginning of the corona, Sayyid Ali Khamenei would say that, our supreme leader would say that, turn your houses, if you cannot go outside, if you cannot
attend the majalis,
turn your house into a Husseiniya. Every house a Husseiniya. So this is a great Shiite teaching that we have, and alhamdulillah, mashallah, many, many women throughout history have taught us and have proved very effective how this platform could be. One was Sayyida Bintul Huda al-Sadr, Sayyida Zainab, who was a mufassir, who was an interpreter of the Quran, a very knowledgeable lady. She was a lady who did not have a teacher, but she was a scholar, a very knowledgeable person. And then again, another lady who was influential in the event of Ashura was Maria bint Sa'd.
Yeah.
She was a brave Shiite woman in the city of Basra, and she had turned her house into a Husseiniya, as we call it right now, or they would call it a center for the Shiites. They would go to her house and they would get the latest news, and she was welcoming to all the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, and she had put at the disposal of the Shiites whatever she had, she had within her power. And she was fully aware of Imam Hussein's uprising, which was to revive the sunnah of the Prophet, his grandfather, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and her house actually served that purpose. So among the people, the participants of the Day of Ashura were some of the people who actually, were active participants of her house, in her house. So this is, again, something that we could do, a platform that we could use.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's so simple, so easy. Not too schmancy, nothing extravagant or over the top, just gatherings that we could have and to talk about life issues with an Islamic Ashurai approach. I think women should do that more often. We should create such niche for ourselves, these safe places to deal with women's issues.
These places served multi-purposes.
Mm.
One, it was a chance to get to know about the teachings of the Quran, tafsir, ahkam, aqaid, you know, doctrines of belief, all this. And, you know, it was an informal platform so that to increase the level of knowledge of women, housewives usually, who were busy with their raising kids and, you know, taking care of their husbands and their, you know, houses and everything. It was a platform to freshen them up, to keep them up to date of how Islam wants them to serve, right? By the way, there's a beautiful explanation or beautiful tafsir for Al-Hafidhat in about Surah Nisa, verse number 34. Ar-Rajal Qawwamuna ala Nisa, and then it says, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانَتَاتٌ. One professor was saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives men the authority or the, you know, the power or the function of supporting and maintaining women. And on the other hand, also he raises women up. Says that فَالصَّالِحَاتِ, you God-fearing, virtuous women who are so dear in my eyes, you are قَانَتَاتٌ صَالِحَاتٌ, this and that. So, I mean, I'm talking about housewives who are taking care of their, raising their children and taking care of their husband's needs. And in our time, in our age, in you know, one or two decades ago, three, 4 decades ago, these have turned into very looked down upon kind of things to do, being a housewife. What do? You're a housewife? You do nothing.
Right.
These majalis that Shiite women have as their platform, one is to educate women, two, share their feelings and sentiments.
Exactly.
To empty themselves.
Yeah, it's important, man.
At this day, a lot of young boys and girls are in search of a good spouse.
Yeah.
And because of the corona, there's a big gap between people. All these social gatherings and contributions have been limited to really little numbers. And so there's not a great chance of meeting new people. And in the old days, these majalis served as a very good means for women to introduce, you know, their children to one another and good marriages.
There's so much potential in these gatherings. And perhaps one of the reasons the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam emphasized on it so much and encouraged us to uphold these majalis of the remembrance of the Ahlul Bayt, like to have these majalis, supposedly, okay, we spent half an hour talking about, I don't know, the tafsir of the verse in the Quran,
yeah.
Right? And then after that, we have tea, some cake, and we talk and we chat and we refresh ourselves and, you know,
pour out your pains,
exactly,
and agonies and frustrations and challenges in,
yeah,
life, and you get some really good solutions.
And, you know, you offer one another support.
Exactly.
So many women live in certain
similar situations,
yeah,
even worse situations.
Exactly.
You compare some, oh my God, I'm in such a better situation.
Sometimes they can't turn to their families. They don't have anyone to lean on. And it's nice to have that
ear, comforting,
yeah,
ear.
Exactly. And that shoulder and that safe place. We're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back. So don't go anywhere. Studio with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're discussing Ashura'i women and Ashura'in women.
Actually, these majalis took place right after the Shahada or the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, these ladies at that time who were living in the city of Medina, I think one of them was Umm al-Banin, mm-hmm. who turned to her house, or who started this whole sunnah of crying. I mean, beside Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, who mourned and who had majalis in his house
for 30 years.
Also, these ladies also in the city of Medina, they had their houses as a platform to mourn for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So we learn it, we Shiites learn the sunnah from our imams, from our leaders in the beginning, in the first
century of Islam, yeah.
After, yeah.
Absolutely. So let's shift the focus of our discussion a little toward the women in Ashura, who in a way began this movement after Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, in continuation of his mission. I don't know which one was harder, to be honest.
Which
to be the man yielding the sword, holding a shield, and raging into enemy front lines in a face-to-face battle, and then giving up an arm, a leg, and then dying, or being a woman.
And staying behind.
Exactly. And with a mountain of grief, undetermined way, journey, future ahead, in the middle of a bunch, the same jackals that just slaughtered and shred apart your loved ones, mm-hmm. now you're left with them.
Exactly.
As a vulnerable woman, without a sword, God knows what's going to happen after this.
And prior to this, you were safeguarded as the amana,
exactly, like a gem.
Trusty mm-hmm. of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you're just left in the hands of
A captive. You're literally a captive. And I think that's why Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said, Asham, Asham. It was definitely worse than watching the most beloved people in my life being slaughtered in cold blood.
Yeah. When they told me to talk about, like they said that the topic is the ladies, the role of women in the uprising of Ashura, I was like, okay, so there are a handful of women. And, you know, there's this lady, that lady, you know, about like 20 ladies that I can talk about. But then I was like, so let us, as you said, let us dissect and analyze and get like the gem of, you know, what this quality was in them, the qualities that you could find in them that you can learn from, you know, in our own sizes, in our own ways.
In our own capacity.
Personalizing it.
Yeah.
As they say, localizing it. So these ladies, one of the salient attributes of a lady is that she's full of mercy, compassion, and kindness.
Mm.
And in the midst of all this barbaric, harsh, violent, cruel, lifeless moments on the plain of Ashura, this gentleness, this flowerness, this kindness still remained, where you see that in Sayyida Zainab, salamu alayha. She had all these captives, all these orphans.
These widows.
These widows.
Heartbroken wives and mothers.
And these little girls and boys who were the apple of their father's eye,
right.
Probably like the day before or half a day before, now they all had turned into orphans. Right? And it was so difficult for her, having lost her brother, her sons, her nephews, and to still, because I would, like, I'm like, when I am under a lot of agony and pressure, I would lose this kindness of mine. I'm like, you know, don't you understand? I have a lot to grieve.
Exactly.
You shouldn't expect from me to be kind, you know?
Exactly.
But she was kind towards all these orphan. I mean, this character was very vivid in her, and I really like it in her. I was actually watching an Instagram clip today where they had turned this into, maybe I'll put it for you in our next episode. I started to cry afterward.
Oh,
it
no.
was beautiful.
Inshallah.
I'm
going to
share it with you, inshallah.
That's all the time we have for today's episode of Muslim Lady. Thank you so very much for being with us. Until another segment, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I know I'm waiting. for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. I wish that someone